Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max? Hello everyone, welcome back to the max. Max here. Zach, how is it going?
Good, Max. Good. It's only been, what, a month? A month? You know, we've been gone.
It's been a while. And, yeah, but, you know, we're coming up on the end of the year.
Well, the end of this, what a great year, right?
I would say it was pretty good, actually.
What a good year for everyone.
Okay,
right,
for everyone.
For everyone. It's been just so good.
Well, let's not go there. Yeah, but it has been a really weird year, for sure. We will be planning a year kind of recap and looking at how this is going to affect the future in a bit.
Not now.
Not now, because the year hasn't ended if you're looking at the date. Today, it is the 4th, which, according to me, isn't the end of the year. Correct me if I'm absolutely wrong.
I can't step in and interfere that one. I think you're right.
Okay, good. I'm right. Okay, good. I just had to check. You know, I'm always really nervous that, you know.
Just in case.
But today, that's obviously not what we're going to be talking about. We got a fun topic for today. We're going to be talking about, as you've probably seen in the title, because, you know, I often forget about that, but you guys don't click on these things without knowing what we're actually going to talk about.
Yeah, Max, you don't underestimate the mental mindset that they have. You know, they're not coming here to figure out what we're going to talk about. You should know that. Be better.
So, obviously, today we're going to be talking about asteroid mining and planetary colonization. Now, these two things go together actually quite well because they both examine the future of what we're going to do with space. And space is a very interesting place, to say the least, because it has so much untapped potential as of the recording.
Yep.
And probably for hundreds of years at the rate we're going, but whatever.
Whatever.
And it's really interesting to look at how we could harness this kind of stuff and what we could use it for. So, Zach, how about you start us off with a little information about, you know, just actual asteroid mining.
Well, Max, you've told me about the thing. It's been done before. Well, it's been done before, but obviously on the scale we're looking at, it has never really been done before. Only small probes have really went and collected small samples from asteroids, but that's not the thing. That's not what we're looking for.
Because
we want
the
money.
The whole asteroid. We want money.
We want money.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that.
Yeah,
but
money. It's a money business. And basically it's been said by a lot of people, including our good old pal Neil, that the first trillionaires on this planet will be the people who mine who mine asteroids.
Actually, I wouldn't say that. Don't worry. Jeff's getting pretty rich already, isn't he?
It's true. But, you know, whoever can beat, if it's either if Jeff beats you or if you mine the asteroids.
Or Jeff will be the one that gets there and that'll just add on.
Or if Jeff mines the asteroid. Who knows?
Can we just call him Jeff? It's
we know
Mr.
Jeff.
Bezos.
Mr. Bezos. Sorry for being so informal, Jeff, if you're Mr. Bezos, if you're listening.
Yeah, I get, just sorry to interrupt already. I like to interrupt.
That's what your specialty is.
But I hate people that say it's not about the money. Money is worthless. Because, some people think they have some really grand dreams about how the world should be. But I'd love to get into this with the actual professional, but, like, money is a very important driving factor to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it connects a lot of the economy, and it allows us to be able to trade items. Like I have a phone, and if I wanted a drum set, well, maybe not someone's going to be trading me a phone for a drum set, but I can trade someone a phone for money or tokens, and those tokens can then be worth enough to buy a drum set.
Right.
It allows us to do so much more, and a lot of people say, oh, well, it has so many problems, but it allows us to do a lot of things, and removing this money would remove a lot of drive from people, and it would also just kind of really destroy everything, because You know, if people are just said, oh, just do this. There's no sense of I'm getting something. Anyways, I would love to get into this later, but all I'm saying is this is a process that is going to be about money.
Yeah, it's going to, well, if we ever get to a point where we can successfully mine an asteroid for the first time, the entire, unless it's handled properly, and you just bring in all of these natural resources, because obviously the reason this is just such a money-filled industry is because on these asteroids, there's basically 100% raw material.
Yeah.
And if you're able to export that, you could make more money than anyone has ever seen on this planet.
I mean, there's pretty much more natural resources in a lot of these things than we'll be able to use for millions of years.
Exactly. I heard something about just one asteroid that's not even that big.
Relatively speaking. Yeah, relatively astronomically speaking, yeah.
It's not that big. But the amount of iron on it would be able to supply all of humanity for millions and millions of years. Compared to what we have on Earth, that's crazy.
And the best thing is, we won't be tearing up our own damn planet in order to get...
Exactly. Because that's one of the big problems we have. We are destroying everything just to get these natural resources. But when you think of an asteroid miner, you're not digging into the planet, you're not excavating, there's no big open pit mine.
Exactly. You're not destroying the lives of the very people that you're going to be giving these resources to.
Exactly.
And, I mean, this is one of the reasons why it is such an alluring thing for not just conservationists and other things, but, you know, actual business people. But as we talk about business people, this is a very interesting thing on terms of money, because it's not the easiest thing to do.
Well, yeah. I think that's made it pretty clear. If it was easy to do, people would be doing it for a while ago. But obviously no one has really done it yet on a scale that's big enough to make
justify.
A big... Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, just think about how expensive it is to get to space right now.
Just regularly going on an orbit mission. Look at SpaceX. Well, I mean, SpaceX has made it cheaper. I mean, to be fair to all the space people, the cost has gone down.
But it still costs.
It still costs money.
A lot of money. It costs way more than it costs the gas for me to drive from, like, my house to somewhere else.
Exactly. The money is clearly an issue, because it begs the question, how much money are you willing to put in to actually get up there, to export this?
And as said, this is an actual business kind of expense, so, I mean, this is going to be for money. And if you're not making a profit, even though you'll be supplying enough natural resources for literally millions of years to never have to worry, if you're not making money, you're not going to do it.
Exactly.
And don't get all high and mighty and say, well, I'm protecting the world. No, you won't. You'll be so broke, you won't be able to do anything, okay? It's very expensive to go out there. Just go out there. Not to think about how expensive it's going to be have to actually obtain the stuff inside it.
And then send it all the way back.
Exactly.
And make sure no one steals it on the entry.
So, Zach, with that being said, how about you kind of just tell me, how are we going to act? What is the process? What's the likely process? Obviously, there's nothing...
We don't have any inside information, but from what we've seen just around, there's a little bit of a theory people are having. So some people say, obviously, a booster rocket is very expensive. The dollars per, what, kilogram of fuel?
It's insane. It's insane. I believe we looked at it earlier.
It was like 2,000 just for a kilogram.
Which is, you know, I weigh, what, easily 50 kilograms. I have no idea what kilograms is.
I don't know the conversion. But it's a lot of money.
Pounds! Imperial system.
Yes. But yeah, it has been to be fair to them, like we said earlier, it has been going down,
but
the
it's
cost.
Still,
but it's still a lot of money.
It's still way more than you would be paying for moving any other thing.
And so that's why the first step of the process is to get rid of the booster, or at least the gas booster. The gas booster is still needed to leave orbit, but once you're up in orbit, they are coming up with some sort of electrical booster that can travel long distances and doesn't cost the same amount.
Hey, guess what? We analyzed a whole bunch of different types of boosters in a previous podcast episode, just saying.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Quick shameless plug. I like it.
Everything I do is shameless, except for the stuff that I feel really bad about. Anyways.
Yeah, but moving on. Now that, I mean, if anyone, you know, your basic star, or your basic solar system, you would know that there are mostly all the asteroids are in the asteroid belt, at least close to us.
I wonder why they're in the asteroid belt.
I know, so that would That would probably be our best shot at actually obtaining an asteroid, unless we got lucky in one on a random orbit past us close by.
And obviously, we do collide with a whole bunch of space debris, or debris all the time, but nothing big like an asteroid.
An asteroid that could export millions and or trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars worth of raw material. So.
But that brings up a question, Zach. How does this affect the economy, and how do we actually value this? Because, you know, I mean, first of all, you have to subtract the cost of actually doing this. So really, the price of it goes down. But when you export it, you're still going to have huge amounts never seen just all at once.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. It comes down to who's delivering it. If you're going to put all of this resource into the economy, everything's going to crash.
Exactly.
Just look at, I think it's Dubai has control over
all the oil,
and sometimes they'll just flood the market with a bunch of oil to remind everyone that we're here and you can't treat us lightly, otherwise we'll let all the oil in and crash the price and everything will go to hell.
Exactly.
So that same thing would have to be done on a much larger scale with the asteroid.
Yeah. It's just a really interesting thing, because, like, you kind of do need someone to control the market, because otherwise something really bad could happen. However, though, if one person controls the market, they have such a huge amount that they could sell it for whatever price and throw everyone else selling that thing out.
So, gotta hope there's no greedy people. I think whoever has it should know.
We're human. Everyone's greedy.
They'll have enough money made from all of the asteroid mining.
Yeah.
That's hopefully whoever comes up with it first isn't the most greedy person there is.
I mean, you better hope so, I guess.
Yeah, otherwise the economy might take a little bit of a punch.
So you're saying we hope not a human goes up there, like a monkey or something, I guess?
A robot, probably. Robot, that's programmed.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there we go, guys.
So anyways, where were we?
Asteroids.
But you were saying electric motor. I think that was the last thing you said.
The electric motor, yeah. And so this electric motored probe would fly its way out to the asteroid belt or any nearby asteroid that people want to mine, grab a hold of it, do anything they can to stop it, and then try and redirect its route, because obviously in space, you can...
It's actually pretty easy. There's no resistance.
Exactly. So they'd redirect the route of this asteroid's orbit to try and make it line up with Earth. And so when the time would come, the booster would fire its boosters again, pushing this asteroid, and eventually ending up in the orbit of Earth.
So we're bringing it... Yeah. Towards Earth. Like, I've always thought, and I guess this is misguided, but, like, I kind of thought that we'd be mining it out there and then kind of just bringing that stuff back.
I mean, that's always an option. It's just the fact of the time is the big problem. The time that it would take for all of it to just show up. I mean, it would work. You'd also need a lot smaller probes that could travel longer, very long distances,
mm-hmm.
which is very expensive to build that on a mass scale.
Makes sense.
You know, I'm not the one funding the project.
You're not the one funding the project.
Nope, not me.
That's always an interesting thing, yeah. So I guess we bring it back, and then from there, do we use this kind of like the same style?
Well, of course you're in space, so modifications will clearly have to be made to adjust to that environment. But yeah, you'll need a drill. You'll need a drill, an excavator, and somewhere to store it, and somehow to bring it all back down to the planet. I mean, that's up to decision, because obviously, once again, I'm not in control. Don't go to me. But whoever's in charge will make that decision on how that works. But yeah, you're still going to need a drill. You're going to need a drill.
Now that we've gone over kind of how it's going to be done, I think it's more important to talk about the reasons why it's not going to be done.
Well, why isn't it going to be done?
Well, there's several problems with this. Now, a couple are geopolitical issues.
Right.
For example, as you mentioned... Saudi Arabia or Dubai, did you say, sir?
Well, Dubai is in Saudi, or no, it's in the United Arab Emirates.
Whatever, same difference. They control a huge amount of oil. And imagine if we found a huge, just kind of somehow, impossibly, we found a huge field of oil in space.
Yeah.
And they would realize that they would lose their complete market control if someone went up there.
Right.
So they would do everything they could to either get there first and maintain their control or prevent people from going there in the first place.
Right.
And think about it this way. There's so many countries that rely on the shipment of their natural, their rare earth metals in the building of, you know, phones and all that stuff that we use today. And obviously iron, something that's very useful in our society. Right. And imagine the panic they would get when they realized that someone could go out there, pick up an asteroid,
come back
and put them out of business for millions of years.
Suck.
Exactly.
That would suck.
And that means that those governments would lobby very, very hard against it. And the problem is, this could lead a deadlock that could last really indefinitely. There'd be no way to persuade them. Because what would they have to gain by letting someone else corner the market, and they had the corner?
Exactly. Well, I mean, it comes down to how much you want this. If the U.S. really cares
about... Okay, the U.S.
The U.S. will find that thing of oil and go there instantly. They won't hesitate. Don't care what they say. They'll nuke them if they have to.
The U.S. has power, but a lot of other countries that aren't the U.S., for example, Canada...
But we don't really rely on that kind of stuff.
But, like, if we wanted to go out there and get some resources, we would not really be someone bullying other people into letting us go. I mean, I hope that, in a sense, but I also don't hope.
I just don't think we would... Canada's main goal would be an asteroid miner. That's especially true. With our economy.
Yeah.
That's not our primary function.
Yeah.
We pay enough taxes.
But, like, imagine if China was deciding to go, the U.S.,
was probably going to.
Fight them.
No, the U.S., yeah, and we'll have another space race.
Exactly.
Who can mine the asteroid the
quickest? And this could lead to very, very weird and interesting dynamics. But it's a weird thing. Obviously, I am no geopolitical person. Expert thingy.
That's right, you're no expert in the field.
I mean, I'd love to be. Sounds really cool. I mean, I could, you know, talk about political relationships.
The job title, it's just...
Oh, I just everything. Do it for the job title, exactly.
Exactly, Zach. On the resume, that's all you do.
Oh, hello, Max.
Geothermal.
Geopolitical expert.
Yeah, that's me.
That's such a cool title, don't lie.
Exactly, yeah.
But this is just the political aspect. Now let's talk about some actual problems, just physically with actually doing this.
Well, it's hard.
Exactly. It's going to be hard, insanely hard. Okay, so let's think about it. First issue is just getting out there.
Obviously, well, I mean, that doesn't seem like the biggest problem to me.
But just think about, I think my problem is the price of getting out there, and if people don't think they can make a return on it, we really do have to lower the price, because if it's very expensive to leave Earth. And you're going to need a big thing in order to actually make it to get back, in some sense.
Right. You're going to need a bigger...
And you're going to need to launch your own way to mine this asteroid, even if it's in low Earth orbit. Or probably going to be farther away, because that would be way too dangerous.
Yeah.
But even if it's in Earth's orbit, it will still take a lot of money just to get out there. So, imagine the cost. You have to send something out into deep space to pull back one of these things. And then you're going to have to find a way to get it into Earth's orbit. And then you're going to have to spend money just to get it out.
I think that would take a lot of investing from not only governments. I think it would have to be a team project as well as donations.
But
as little as that seems, it would be a thing where everyone would come together, donate something, in the hopes that when it comes back with an asteroid, it would make enough money to repay everyone plentifully.
But Zach, I love the libertarian style of government.
Oh, do you?
And I believe that we shouldn't really have a government.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Anarchy,
so,
huh?
So if we don't have a government, who's buying this? I'm kidding. We will need government help in this, just because a lot of people, unless it becomes extremely cheap to send stuff out, will not find the value in this.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next problem is just how the hell are we going to actually obtain the resources from it? Because it isn't just raw materials, there's also the dust, the gases.
Well, obviously, in the future, not right now, I don't know if everyone has a plan now, but in the future, if before they would even send anything up, they would already have their plan marked out. That wouldn't be an issue if they had already went up and got it.
But, I mean, think about it as an issue of just time. Like, people are going to have to wait a while until they have something that works.
Well, that's just how it is.
I know.
Time's a factor.
But it is delaying... You know, just actually sending it up there. And, you know, that is kind of an issue. Kind of is a problem with this thing. How long it's going to take to actually get this in the first place. I mean, just think about the time just to send it out there. And then you have to get it back and then obtain the resources. Plus having all the plans in order to how to get those stuff done.
It's not a project that had happened over a year. This is a decade by decade project.
Exactly. And although it's not a problem, I understand. But I'm just saying, it's something that will take a while, and a lot of people who might even start their project won't even see it to fruition, which can, for a lot of people, kind of throw them off.
Yeah, well, whether, depending on how big they want to make it with the public, or how highly they rely on public funds, whether or not they go for private donations, private company money, government money, is different, because if I'm just not, I'm just watching, sitting back and watching it happen, yeah, if it fails, the entire economy will crash because they put so much money into it.
Yeah.
But I'm just here, you know, I'll go live on the farm, I'll make my own food, I'll supply for myself. I'll go live out in the wild while everyone else is crying that the dollar bill has gone down 100%.
Zach, a dollar bill will be worth less than the paper it's printed on.
Imagine the day. You're losing money printing money. Well, and that's the case every time. Inflation, everyone.
Inflation.
But
oh no, Zach, inflation doesn't exist, Zach. The U.S. economy is strong as ever.
Guys, they're down $6 trillion, or $600 trillion.
Just no, print Zach, it. Zach, that's all a lie. That's
just print it, Max. Just print it.
Oh, just print it. Yeah, sorry, we'll print up it, and that will fix the inflation. That'll
solve the problem, guys. Just print all the money.
The economy with Max and Zach.
Yeah, take notes, everyone. Get your paper and pen, all right?
This will help you. Definitely.
Yeah, we will take you through school. Even though we're not through it, we can still help you through it.
We definitely will try. So Zach, what is your opinion on this, personally?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I love it. Do it.
Yeah, well, what's the problem with it?
I don't really... I see your problems, but I think those aren't as major issues as you may think. Anything working in space takes time. Anything working in space takes careful planning. Anything working in space takes high budget that NASA clearly was prepared for 50 years ago when Apollo went around.
But the problem with this is that NASA budget existed because of
taxpayers,
and those taxpayers were motivated because of the Big Red Scare.
That's true. I mean, taxpayers have to pay taxes.
Yeah, I know. Like, the government spending was dictated.
There was a little bit of American pride.
You know.
You hope
the American pride feel it when they say that they could control the market, Zach.
I think it would. I think it would inspire Americans to donate.
And I think the best thing with it is this amount of resources. It won't be just usable on Earth. It'll actually be usable on possible planetary colonies.
Oh, speak of
what
that.
What a segue, eh?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And
best transition.
So with that being said, guys, we're going to take a short break.
If you're looking to apply for college, just say I'm the next asteroid miner, and they'll let you in, they'll give you all the money you need.
Yep.
There you go.
So
that's
how
it works.
We'll be right back. Make sure to go head off, apply for college, as Zach said.
Yep, because that will work.
That will work.
You don't even need a resume. Just a little sheet, 5 words. I am asteroid miner.
Make sure to color it in with crayon. Yep. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back from the break. Something Zach and I were just saying. If you guys have anything on your... We have something on our Christmas list this year that we would love for you to fill out. It's a Patreon.
Yeah, another shameless plug. We would like to thank our 0 Patreon subscribers right now. Thank you very much for all the money you've given us and all of the stuff we have given you. Because we have given so much to our Patreon members, haven't we, Max?
Well, we would, Zach.
Well, that's true. We would if we had any. But, you know, that's not... No, let's end the shameless plug. I feel sick doing that. I feel like a sick human being.
So anyways, we get to talk about space colonization, terraforming the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
And...
Fun.
It's actually going to be a very fun little... I mean, I like these kind of episodes. We just kind of get to talk about some fun stuff. You know.
Fun.
Fun.
Fun, fun, fun.
So I want to start off with just talking about living on another planet for a second.
Do you want to quote The Martian? I mean, I think that's the best example that we have of anything fictional with living on another planet. If you haven't seen The Martian, please go read it or go watch the movie. It's the best, my favorite movie, maybe my probably my favorite book as well.
I would absolutely agree with that. It is. I have actually read that book way too many times. Maybe like 8 times. I think.
I've read it. I think I can go half part of it word for word. It's kind of sad.
It is a very good book, and the best part is, the author Andy Weir did a lot of research into actually making it
scientifically correct. And the thing is, if the crazy thing is, if all of the things that happened in the Martian, like,
except for the windstorm, because that just wouldn't happen on Mars.
Is that true?
Yes, it is true. You can't get the same wind wouldn't be possible because of the thinner atmosphere. You have less air particles, which means
Andy Weir got all the little science right.
The windstorm. He actually said in an interview that he had to do something in order to force them to evacuate.
Right.
So he had to do that, unfortunately. But
maybe like the Hab breaches, and then
breaches. I mean, you could do that.
Breaches. He gets sucked out, and then they can't find him, so they have to leave.
Yeah.
Because they have no shelter.
Exactly. But the problem is, you got to force the evac.
Yeah, and they also have a hat.
Besides that, anyway, you guys probably had no idea.
No lore on the Martian.
You guys probably had no idea what we were talking about there for a second. But anyways, the Martian is about the Ares program, which is a space colonization of Mars. Now, this is kind of not like a, you know, utopia on Mars. This is a small kind of the same thing that's actually being planned with NASA for the moon right now.
Exactly, a little container. A little round container.
That you live in, and, you know,
you can walk around in human clothes, not wearing a spacesuit.
Which is,
that's the big thing.
I think that is the first definition of having a colonization on a planet. If you can walk around without having to wear a spacesuit, it's a weird thing, but it gotta be part of it. I mean,
exactly, you need to have it. I mean, if you're walking around in a spacesuit on the moon, like, we didn't colonize the moon. We went to the moon.
We went to the moon, but colonizing it would be setting up a place that we could permanently...
You can't permanently live in a spacesuit. I mean, you probably could. But it'd be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that'd be the worst.
It's not the type of living people want to do.
In fact, well, actually, the definition of colonizing is, I think, planting crops. I'm pretty sure that's in the Martian.
And, well, I mean...
But, like, I think, adding on top of that, you gotta have somewhere that you can permanently live and kind of just, you know, actually be able to hang out in, you know?
You have to be able to survive.
But I think colonization is almost, at a certain point, it's not just surviving, but thriving. You know, because if you're just surviving there, I don't think that's really the definition of a colony. A colony has to be, you know, a livable place
that... A stable community.
A stable community, exactly. And... You know something I found interesting? Just think about this. Imagine if someone was born... Because we always think people born on Earth, they go to Mars, less gravity. But imagine if someone was born on Mars...
In low gravity,
and they go to Earth. What's that like for them?
Why would it be heavy? Would they just...
Yeah. Would they be able to, you know, stand up? Because, think about it, they have a far lower bone density, I would bet. They would be used to just something completely different. And even if you climatize them over a whole year on a trip, would they be able to?
I don't know. I mean, I'm no bone scientist. I don't know how the body would react to being... I'm not sure. Is there something where you can be given a higher G-force? Where you are...
I mean, you could go into, like, a...
Simulator?
A centripetal, like... Or, sorry, a centripetal thingy, like, a spinny thing.
A spin, yeah.
And it could spin you up to, like, the same speed that would be equivalent to the same force of gravity.
Right.
And you could get used to it by gradually going up in gravity. But you just wonder, how would the body adapt, you know?
Would it be able, like, to be consistently in there?
Because, like, what would happen to us if I were... Like, okay, so the human body can survive a certain amount of Gs more, right?
Yes.
So, just what would happen over a sustained time at a G that is, you know, slightly up in the top half of our habitable area? These are questions you have to actually examine when we're talking about space colonization and planetary colonization. And this is something that terraforming can't fix, because you cannot change the gravitational pull of a planet.
Exactly. You definitely have to take it into account. You can't forget about it. You can't go to Mars and then come back and be like, oh, I can walk the same. No, you can't.
Yeah, and even especially astronauts in zero G, they have to really maintain physical strength in all their muscles, otherwise they kind of like...
Yeah, they have the gyms on on the space station is the best example, they have that treadmill that they strap themselves in and they run.
Yeah, It's cool what they've done there.
It's really cool. And it's a space station.
It's a space station. Man, it's really nerve-wracking thinking about going into space, but it'd be so cool, wouldn't it?
It'd be pretty cool.
You know what? No, I compromised for a zero-G plane ride. Have you seen those? Those are so cool.
Yes, expensive. Not, there's only been, 100 people in space.
But just one.
I'll be 101.
You know those plane rides that,
I know. Yeah. The zero-Gs. Yeah. They're very fun.
I mean, you barely get, 10 minutes, feels like, and it costs a lot of money as well, but whatever.
Whatever. It's fun.
It's fun. But, anyways, let's go back to terraforming. Because this is something that we're going to have to do, I think, in order to have an actual colony. Because, if we have a whole bunch of big domes...
I mean, you can terraform the surface of your dome, but the big thing is, can you terraform an atmosphere?
Exactly.
Can you get oxygen on Mars?
Now, Mars, here's the problem. It has...
And how would you do that?
It has a... Okay, let's examine the problems first. Mars, the reason it doesn't have much of an atmosphere is, A, it's exposed now... So the solar radiation keeps breaking down a lot of the particles. Second off, the gravity isn't that strong, so a lot of the lighter gases, just like here on Earth, they can escape, but it's a lot easier for them to escape.
They can just leave.
So that means you have to consistently be putting in amounts of a gas or oxygen and whatever atmosphere we have, like the amount of atmosphere that we have here, like nitrogen and oxygen, everything, you're going to have to be putting that into the air consistently in order to maintain an atmosphere. Now, some things I've heard is we could put up huge, it's very cold on Mars, and this is just...
It's very cold in here. I'm almost dying.
The heater's broken. I mean, it says it's on, but it's not.
Back to Mars.
So, it's very cold there. So, a thought is, we want to put particles into the atmosphere... Then we want to make it warmer. Why don't we just actually deliberately flood it with greenhouse gases? Something we don't like here on Earth.
Let's take all the carbon here and give it to Mars. It's not like it has enough. It's not like it's the number one gas in Mars?
Yeah.
Isn't it carbon?
But we can add extreme amounts of it to trap even more heat. And if we keep on adding to the atmosphere, this will allow us to, create an actual...
Heat.
Heat.
You solve one of the problems. There's many problems. Heat definitely being one of them, but not the big one.
And the thing is, every planet is a unique scenario because, there's some planets that are easier to colonize than others, but they're all going to have some extreme difficulties because none of them, we have not evolved in them.
Well, yeah, obviously. Any planet we go to will be a struggle. Unless... Somehow, we find a perfect Goldilocks planet that just happened to have people welcoming
Earth
us.
1.1. It just actually has humans on it,
It just has people welcoming us with food and shelter.
And they speak our language. They speak English.
Yep. That's the big thing. They found Voyager.
Yep.
Yep.
They learned English.
They abandoned their own culture to speak English. That would be the most boring discovery ever. If we found other humans speaking English. They'd be the most boring aliens ever. It'd be aliens, but it'd be the most boring aliens you could find.
You know what's almost close to that scenario? You just go into some of those really remote, abandoned islands. Remote islands that have not been touched by, modern culture.
Oh, yeah, there's the one off the coast of India.
Yeah, and in the New Guinea area, kind of that stuff. Because the people there have not...
Their society has stayed the same for thousands of years. It hasn't industrialized, even though it's on the smallest of scales.
I know. And the people that say, we should go back to those ages, I'm so sorry, but no.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's something I can't... I could not go back. Obviously, he sounds like a rich person. But, think about it this way. We have so many things that we have the possibility to do that. Living back then, you have so little knowledge of the world around you.
That's true.
And you don't have the drive for innovation that we have today.
Yeah, eat, hunt, sleep, protect.
Exactly. Once you remove the fear of being forced to think about where your next meal is, you can now think about something greater.
Exactly.
And that greater stuff, although we have seemed to work our way into a large problem, that being climate change and other things.
Let's go team.
We have the capability of doing something about it, And we also have so many other great things.
Exactly.
So, anyways, to those who think that we shouldn't have colonized and innovated, you're wrong.
Yeah, take that.
But back to Mars. So now let's hypothetically say we've established some kind of warm atmosphere. We're now going to have to populate this with plant life in order to maintain an atmosphere that we can breathe. And kind of the most essential thing ever, water.
Oh, how could we forget? I mean, there is ice on Mars, but then again, it's I don't think it's H2O ice. It's not water frozen.
I'm pretty sure there's some, like, frozen carbon dioxide almost. At
the poles.
It gets that cold at the poles.
Exactly. It's not the most drinkable water, I'd say. Not something that I'd be happy to drink.
And just, also another weird thing is we'd have to get used to different day cycles.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the days would, well, I mean, or logs? No, not logs.
Souls.
Souls, yeah. The souls, but they're completely different.
This is the thing about expanding a human civilization. You'd have to deal with different types of, like, timings. You can't say, I'll talk to you next day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. That has no meaning to everyone else, because everyone else will have different sets of time. And the same thing with just, there's a 20-minute gap between you and everyone else on Earth. So if you have a COD server based in Mars, you'll be great. You'll be killing everyone else. They'll be experiencing the worst lag known to men. But, like, if you're trying to play on the server over there, you're screwed. And the same thing with conversations. It'd just be so weird, so hard to maintain.
What's it, 22 minutes on the closest end and, what, an hour there, hour back on the far end?
Like, imagine that, 2 hours just to get, oh, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, sorry, going to bed now, sorry.
Oh, bedtime. Oh, I'll text you in the morning.
Sorry, it's a weird thing. It's weird to think about. And we're so used to, our concepts of time are weird, but, like, we're so used to, you know, the fact that everyone shares the same day-ish, and that you can talk to people instantaneously. We think the speed of light is dang like that.
I mean, it is pretty fast.
It is pretty fast.
It's pretty fast.
The fact is, I mean, isn't that just a testament? It's, like, the fastest thing we know, but it still takes, like, 22 minutes to get to another planet.
That is true. That just shows you the distance it really does take.
I know, that shows how empty space is.
Yeah.
Because something that is the closest to us, Mars. Or Venus might be closer. Mars.
I think it's Mars.
Mars. Something that is that close still takes a whole 22 minutes to get to us. I mean, I'm just saying. Shows how empty space is.
That's right.
So anyways, now that we have somehow melted the water, we have to continuously maintain this. So how are we capturing these gases? Because we're going to run out of gases at a certain point.
Yeah, they're going to keep, they're constantly leaving, right?
Exactly. So if we can, sure, keep pumping them in, but we're still going to run out at some point. And it's going to be super hard to collect all the gases from, you know, all around space, because that's just weird.
Yeah, that's just a process some people may not be willing to take.
And it's very hard in order to maintain it. So this is the reason why terraforming is something that is super, super hard. And the problem is Mars is also does not have magnetic fields to protect us from radiation.
Woohoo, yes.
So we can kill ourselves by
radio poisoning, nice.
So let's say we, you know, make our atmosphere, you can breathe there, but you're dead. Sorry, there's still radiation.
But that's okay, is it? All right, we'll take what we got.
And a more fun fact is that compasses would just not work.
Would they? Explain why.
Because the compasses work on the magnetic fields of Earth.
Oh, how could I forget?
How could you, Zach?
I wonder why they aren't working on Mars.
Because there is absolutely no magnetic fields, because Mars is technically a dead planet.
I think, yeah, you can classify it as that. Well, I mean, there's nothing there. It's just...
No, but the actual core of the planet is dead.
Oh, is it not producing heat?
It produces heat, but just at a very low scale, and it doesn't have the moving of molten iron that creates the magnetic fields here on Earth.
I see.
So this is the sense that it is dead.
Oh, that's a good classification. I like that.
I know. It makes sense of a way, you know?
Yeah.
Because anything living there would have to be completely immune to solar radiation, which is one of the most deadly things we know.
Yeah. That's a lot of adaptation that would take.
And let's briefly switch over to Venus, because Venus had a lot of hype for about a second.
There's life on Venus? Never mind.
Which is really, really interesting to me, how it just shows the attention span of humanity, eh?
Yeah, it's over in a second. Most people don't really care about astronomy, or aren't that interested into space until they see a fun headline. And then they realize, oh, it's not as cool as we think. There's not actually humans on Venus.
Yeah.
Little did they know, huh? Yeah, people don't really care. And that goes for all things. People usually don't care.
I mean, I'm a person who, I really care about stuff. Like,
things you do care about.
Something I care about, I'm very passionate about.
But other stuff?
Other stuff, I don't. And I understand. I understand why people don't find all science interesting.
Fair enough. Any science set for some people.
But it makes me sick how people can be like, oh, wow, headline, I'm so interested. And then just completely say, forget about it. Or...
Well, I mean, that's the power of the media, too.
I know.
The media has major power. Headlines are major. I mean, just clickbait. Look at YouTube. Clickbait's huge. Anything in a title that's really not true gets attention.
Yeah. I guess. So anyways, back to Venus for a second. I just want to talk about how we could possibly, colonize Venus. Now, we have the opposite problem here in the fact that it is so hot on Venus.
Let's go back 2 million years. Or 2 billion years.
Venus is the same as Earth is today, and maybe close to what Mars was back then as well. And Earth is a steaming pile of molten rock. Venus seems like the one to pick. Mars seems like a good second. Earth, kind of sucks.
We're the third.
Isn't it funny how quickly that kind of changed? Like, obviously, these are just predictions.
Astronomical units.
But, it's funny how we think that Venus and Mars were the ones that were more likely to have life at some point, and Earth kind of just stole life from one of them.
We kind of took it away, because Venus was a great planet. How it became the hellish round ball we know today. Maybe there were humans that caused global warming, and look what happened. Maybe they're yet to discover a skeleton of a human, because it's been burned up after millions of years.
And incinerated and flattened and crushed and... Yeah. So, I was doing some research about the Venus life, because I found it interesting. And unlike most people, I actually went into this for a couple days, unlike
the 30 seconds attention span that most people did have?
Exactly. And a couple things. First of all, Venus's clouds are very dense.
Very, very, very dense. There's no light leaving.
And funny enough, there's a certain layer of clouds that has almost the exact same gravity that we're used to here on Earth.
Hmm. Its own gravity, wow.
So imagine if we could somehow find a way to sustain some kind of towered city.
Cloud city, if I might say. I'll allow it.
And this is the thing. I find it so interesting because we could... It's weird our classification of what is a habitable planet. It's a weird thing to think about. Because we can look at all these planets and say, oh, they're in the right zone. But there's so many other things. Like, for example, Titan. Or not Titan.
Triton.
No, not Triton either. Why do I always forget this one? It's one of Jupiter's moons.
Europa.
Should be super... It's far away from the sun. It's a moon. It should be super cold and dead. However, because of its unique situation with Jupiter... It has a liquid water. Water is liquid. God.
Good one, Max.
It has a water lakey, oceany kind of surface.
Isn't it ice on the top?
Not surface. Yeah, obviously. Ice on the top. And, yeah. So, it's just weird our perception of what is habitable. And I think it's just interesting to look into because we're used to what life is here. But imagine if life is completely different than we know it, and it could survive in some weird places.
Gives you something to think about.
And with that being said, everyone.
the sign-off.
I hope you have a safe and fantastic rest of your day. Make sure to take it to the max.
And subscribe to Patreon.
Goodbye, everyone.